SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
While the games are winding down, they're getting wound up.
We talked about this a billion times. These guys are morons, all of them in that room.
He did a poor job this year because he wanted to showcase he could be a pocket passer.
Mike Carver.
Is this serious? Come on.
Joe Lisi.
Look him in his eye and tell him what he is.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
All right, here we go. Carver and Lisi here with you. Mike Carver out tonight on some load management. I'm in the cockpit driving the bus. This is like the Tesla driving itself, by the way. Let me just say that. You know, this car is going everywhere tonight. We had Dave Sharapan on talking hockey, NFL, a little NBA. We're going to have Dubs Anderson joining us in the second hour. About 20 minutes away, we'll get his take on the golf. If I was winning tonight, I'd tie up the golf, but that's not possible unless the Blues actually can close the door. They're tied 4-4, headed into overtime, down 3-0, and they found a way, this gutty team, to tie it up with about a minute left in Colorado, 4-4. I mentioned that Carver definitely took the Avalanche in some capacity. He took them in-game, he took them money line, he took it when they were tied at 3. He did something with the Avalanche. He's probably biting the towel right now the way Jerry Tarkanian used to for the UNLV Rebels, the running Rebs. There's Carver right now sitting on a ticket somewhere. Update in terms of the NBA, 93-80. Why is that important? Because the Miami Heat had the lead at the half, 42-37. They have now only scored 38 points in the second half. Are you kidding me? 38 points at home in the second half. Jimmy Butler gave you absolutely nothing tonight. Absolutely nothing, gutless in terms of this team. Unbelievable. Game five, Butler scored, plays 40 minutes, scores 13 points. Adebayo, 18 points. He's the leading scorer for the team. Are you kidding me? And now he gets the 10 rebounds. The other night when I needed him to get 8.5, he basically did absolutely nothing. So great, you got your prop bet, but you lost the ball game outright by 13. And remember, Boston opened as a 1.5-point favorite. They bet it up to 3.5. They closed minus 172 on the money line, and they now take a 3-2 series lead over the Miami Heat. I think Boston's winning the whole thing. They close the door next game. I think they definitely have a shot against the Golden State Warriors should the Warriors close out Luka and the crew tomorrow night. Quick update in the baseball. Boston trails heading into the top of the eighth against the White Sox 3-1. Guardians right now, top nine. They're headed into Houston, top nine, Guardians down 2-1. I need that over, so I need the Guardians to at least tie that ballgame up. Texas was plus 152 on the money line tonight. They have a 4-1 lead over Mike Trout and the Angels, bottom five. And the Yankees win. The Yankees absolutely did, in fact, win 2-0. That total was opened at 8.5. They bet it down to 7.5. So the Yankees now close out the Orioles. They won last night 7-6. They win tonight 2-0. And the Braves beat up Joe Girardi and the Philadelphia Phillies 8-4. They trailed 4-2 in that ballgame. Win that 8-4 as we welcome in all of our radio audience and affiliates. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sirius Channel 159, the Mightier 1090, Sports Byline, Sports Bymap, across the landscape. Carver's out tonight. He's got cramps, I think. I think he's cramping. So we gave him a load management night off. He played banged up last night, and I definitely give him a pat on the back. He wasn't feeling good, so he carried the load last week while I was out. We'll see I got to break his chops. If St. Louis somehow pulls this ball game contest, pulls this game out against Colorado, I got to break his chops tomorrow night. I cannot wait. I'm pulling for the Blues in a big way to close the door right here, right now. Do it, kid. Come on, Robert Thomas. Step up and make a play. We'll see if they can do it. They're putting the pressure on. They are the fresher team from what I can see, but what do I know? I'm not the hockey guy. That's Carver. I'm just a hockey whisperer. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll get Andrew Torres' take next segment about the New York Rangers. Also get his take about the Yankees now winning two games in a row against the Baltimore Orioles. They trailed last night, found a way to win. Gutty effort tonight, 2-0. They didn't beat him up. Of course, I was on the over, and that didn't happen. So we'll see Andrew's take in next segment. Other games that finished up today, Brewers did win 2-1 over the Padres. Nationals defeat the Dodgers 1-0. And we spoke about it earlier in the show that the Mets got absolutely abused 9-3 by the San Francisco Giants after they totally crapped the bed last night. Up 10-8, heading into the bottom of the eighth, they lose 13-12. Unbelievable. Unreal. But it is also a football show, so we'll sprinkle in maybe a little college football and NFL as well. Dub Anderson coming up in a couple of segments. Carver and Lisi breaking down everything from the NBA, Major League Baseball, and, of course, one of my favorite sports, hockey. Let's go, St. Louis. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just because they have kids doesn't mean they're gonna like yours.
Come on! That's what happens when you play these games that are meaningless. Kids take off.
I'm kind of getting the feeling now that this dude still has a lot of growing up to do.
Get back to basics. Get off your ass. Stop with the videos with your wife. Focus and get your ass back on the field.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we're back, Carver and Lisi, here with you, breaking down everything from Major League Baseball, NBA, and of course, my favorite, National Hockey League. It is over in Colorado, or as a friend of mine used to say, Colorado. 5-4, but not the Avalanche. It was Tyler Bozak, Andrew. Tyler Bozak and the Blues pull out the victory, down 3-0. What, in the second? And they pulled this ball game out with five goals in basically a period and a half, man. Are you kidding me?
Well, you talked about there's no quit in this team. The Blues, you know, they lost their better goaltender to injury due to a questionable cheap shot hit. And I think the Blues really kind of rallied around that a little bit. It took them a couple of games to get their legs underneath them, but now they're going to have an opportunity to force a game seven back on home ice, which I think they're going to do. And then it's a winner take all game seven, kind of like how we had it in Pittsburgh and the Rangers. I think that's something that we can definitely see.
Now, what's killing me a little bit is that I obviously had a family emergency when I talked about it, right? So I didn't put that bet in to go seven games. And I think, I'm trying to think what it was. Was it plus 380 when we talked about it? I don't remember what it was at the pre-series to say that this series would go seven. But I felt good about it. And it's amazing because I think that the Blues are a pretty chippy team on the road. You know, so that's the one thing that if you're going to bet them, you're going to get a goal and a half. You're going to get a good effort. You might not win every game, but when you're down 3-0, they were plus 3.5. Now, I was sweating, obviously, with the 2.5 and the 1.5. I'm not going to lie to you. But to pull that out the way they did, they're
crazy.
Playing with so – that place is going to be rocking.
Yep.
When do they play, on Friday or Saturday?
It should be Friday. I got to double check. But it's kind of opposite of what happened with Calgary last night. you and Carver were we had the game on the Flames and the Oilers, and the Flames actually came back and tied it after being down 3, and then it just kind of fell apart. And it was the exact opposite. The Flames had all the momentum, and they couldn't hold on to it. The Blues, down to the final period of what could have been the end of the season, came back, scrapped out 2 goals, and then Nathan MacKinnon probably put the goal of the playoffs in the back of the net, and everybody thought the Colorado was going to win again, including yours truly. But the Blues, again, they didn't quit. They were able to tie it with a minute to go, and now they forced the game 6.
This is incredible. I'm going to be locked and loaded. I'm going to be watching. If this is on Friday night when we're doing the show, I'm telling you this right
Friday,
now. If USFL football is on, I'm going to be switching back and forth, okay, between the Blues and the over in the USFL. You know that. Now, give me your thoughts while we're talking hockey. I was going to get your thoughts about the Steelers. We'll talk about it after Dubs comes on. But give me your thoughts about the Ranger game tomorrow night. I know you're high on them. They're playing with house money. 4-1,
yep.
Great. I watched that game the other night. That was a dynamic effort at home. They came out like gangbusters. They took it to the Hurricanes. Can they do it on the road, though? That is the biggest question.
I think they can, and I think it's a matter of taking the momentum you already have, not worrying about the home crowd for Carolina, not worrying about the record that they have at home this playoff season and how good of a regular season they had at home. It matters right now. The Rangers are the hotter team. They have the win streak of 2 games, tying the series. Shesterkin's playing like the Vezina Trophy, you know, league MVP trophy finalist that he was all season long for the Rangers, and I think that that's going to be the difference. The Rangers' goaltending is something that they've rallied around ever since the Game 7 overtime win against Pittsburgh. So I think that that's going to be the difference maker. And you and Carver, we were talking about it last night, too. If the Rangers win Game 5, the series is pretty much over if it goes back to the Garden and the Rangers are up.
All right. Now, I didn't like the way Calgary played. What was it? Was it last night? I don't even remember now. It was last night.
I don't like
the way they played. They came out flat. They fell behind. But you could see, you're right. Like, once they tied it up, it's like they let go. Like, they took a sigh, right? They relaxed a little bit. Whereas
can't do that.
You see St. Louis. I mean, think about what St. Louis just did. Down 3-0. They tie it up. They fall behind again, 4-3. They come right back and tie it up with about a minute left. They could have quit right then and there, and they didn't.
Right.
So that's the difference. Can Edmonton win on the road? I mean, let me ask you this. What is the better bet in your opinion? Edmonton, I mean, you're getting a goal and a half at minus 194, or do you just take the over and close your eyes and say minus 140, I'll lay it and still hope on 8 goals? Because the goaltenders suck for both teams. What is it?
They really do.
And Smith? Smith sucks.
Yeah. Smith, this is his final year. I really think it is. 39 years old, or 40 by now, probably. He's played a lot of the years, and he's got a lot of experience. But I think, to answer your question about the game specifically, I think the over makes sense because every single, you look at the scores of these games, 9-6, 5-3, 4-1, and 5-3 again. So that seems to be the trend. There's no defense in any of these games whatsoever, and that's hurting the goaltending. When it comes down to who has the better offense, because that's what these high-scoring games come down to, it's obviously Edmonton, two of the best players in the world in Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. There's nothing you can do about that. And if Calgary doesn't learn how to man up and play some D, this series is going to be over really quick, and Edmonton's going to advance to the next round.
All right, let me ask you this then. If Edmonton does advance, do they match up well against the Avalanche?
No.
At all?
No, they do not. No, because Colorado tonight was a little bit of a fluke just because St. Louis played really, really hard, and it shows what determination can do. But outside of tonight, Colorado has one of the best defensive teams in the league. And the other side of that is, too, Colorado has an offense that can go toe-to-toe with Edmonton's because you have guys that can score up and down the ice for Colorado. We saw it with Nathan MacKinnon with the hat trick tonight. We saw, you know, Mikko Rantanen, we know, can score. Gabriel Landeskog up and down their roster. They have guys that can go toe-to-toe with Edmonton. So if you match up offensively, it's kind of like the reverse of what we were just talking about. It's the defenses that have to prove themselves. Obviously, Colorado has better goaltending, Darcy Kuemper over Mike Smith, but defensively, the Colorado Avalanche have the advantage. The only shot that Edmonton has moving forward in that series, if that's what it is in the Western Conference Finals, Edmonton has to come out flying, and they have to put the pedal to the metal, and they cannot take their foot off the gas. If they take their foot off the gas for 1 second, Colorado's going to take over that series.
I'm telling you this right now. I know they're down 3-2. I love the Blues. They locked it out here. They don't have odds up for the Stanley Cup right now on FanDuel. Obviously, I guess it's locked. They have Colorado, obviously, in Tampa Bay top, but there's no odds on there. There's no odds for the Western Conference Finals. They only have the Western Conference. They only have Flames and Oilers right now. Flames plus 430 to win the series. They have Edmonton minus 610. Okay, and then your Rangers, would you take a shot plus 126 to knock off the Hurricanes right here right now?
Absolutely. And to you, it goes back to momentum. The team that is on the hot streak, we know Carolina can play well at home, but what I think it boils down to is the fact that the Rangers have the momentum and they have the hotter goaltender.
I know Carver is going to be miserable tomorrow when he comes in. I know it, because I'm going to lead off the show with, you know that gutty team, St. Louis, come on, you know. The Blues, they suck. They got lucky, right? You know that's gonna happen, Andrew. I can't wait for tomorrow night's show. I just hope he's feeling good. I hope he takes his Pedialyte. I hope he rests up for tomorrow. I know he's got Coast to Coast before our show, but... Well, we'll see. We'll be breaking down the Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow. Carver will be back in the cockpit. When we come back, Dubs Anderson will join us. We'll talk some PGA golf coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's no reserving judgment here. It's always rendered.
They got to add teams, Joe. That's it.
Carver, you're like the judge. You're like, that's it. Carver
that's
says
it. They got to ask.
We got to do it.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
You'd have a problem with that, Joe? You don't want that?
Nah, I don't want it. I like it as is.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159, Carver off for the night, Lisi in, breaking it down. Quick updates in terms of the Major League Baseball, only two games taking place. Red Sox are on their last three outs right now. Top nine trail, 3-1 to the Chicago White Sox, dead under right now. Red Sox in game plus 1340. You want to lay it with Chicago, minus 3,000. And Texas beating down the LA Angels. They're headed to the seventh. Right now, Texas 4-1. You want to take a shot on the Angels at home with Trout and the crew plus 680. But you know we always love talking golf on the show, and Carver's the aficionado. What do I know? I throw darts at a wall, and somehow, some way, maybe I got a shot. But we bring on our golf expert on the grid here, Dubsy. Dubs Anderson, that breaks it down. Best-looking guy on the network, alongside yours truly. Dubs, always a pleasure, my friend. How are you tonight?
Mr. Lisi, it's been a long time coming, sir. And you know what they say? They can't let a couple of superstars with such good sets of letters on at the same time. So, mate, it's been a minute, but I love coming on, chatting up with you, especially when we've got such a great event here on the PGA Tour. And that's the beauty of the PGA Tour, Joe. It never sleeps week in, week out. 4 days of golf to bet on. We had the major last week. We do it all again this week for the Charles Schwab Challenge, coming to you from Fort Worth, Texas. It's a Wednesday night, the best night of the week, Joe. My final chance to get these tickets in and back a couple of winners before they tee off there tomorrow morning.
Well, we're going to get your take, Dubsy, on the Charles Schwab Classic, but I missed it. I was traveling over the weekend, right? So I missed the complete meltdown by Mito Pereira and obviously Will Zalatoris. You know I love the kid, right? Second-year sophomore phenom that came on last year and broke onto the scene. But Justin Thomas, I mean, what did he shoot? 8 under the final round? Is that what he shot to pull this thing out? I mean, just give me your thoughts about that performance. That was almost like a Greg Norman meltdown that we saw last weekend in the PGA.
Oh, Joe, I was telling you how much of a good time I was having on a Wednesday night. Then you bring up Greg Norman's name. You know he's an idol of mine. The poor shark. No one chokes better than the Shark. We saw it last week with Mito Pereira. And again, we're interested to see how they would do in the weekend. You know, I mean, Mito's never won on the PGA Tour. It's his first season. Will Zalatoris, he has yet to win on the PGA Tour, despite how good he is. He's now got 5 top 10s at the majors, which is fantastic. But for Justin Thomas, I mean, his experience finally came to a head. Now, he got it to, what, 5 under par. Now, we didn't think it was enough. Mito coming up 18 there. It was he's in the bag. But Justin Thomas knew, if I can just post the score, put a bit of pressure on these young guys, let's see what they're made of. It went to a playoff between Willie Zalatoris and Justin Thomas. And as soon as they went to that playoff, it was only going one way. JT looked in. He looked odd. For Willie Z, it's another great opportunity. Gone begging for Justin Thomas. It's now his second major victory at PGA Championship. And it was a good while coming. I mean, it's been 12 months since his last win on the PGA Tour. But for me, on a very tough golf course, one of the toughest ones we've seen all season long, it beat all the boys up. JT, he showed that class. The putter was there. When you put him in hard conditions, he comes to the very top of the leaderboard. So I thought it was a fantastic event, Joe, because, look, as Carver will tell you, we don't want to see these 30 shootouts, you know, 25 under par, 26 under par. That's not golf. We want to see these guys tested. We saw it last week at Southern Hills Country Club, and that's why at the majors you always got to back the chalk. The cream always rises to the top because every skill set is tested out there on the golf course. So fantastic stuff. The next major only 4 weeks away now, the US Open. So that's going to be coming pretty quickly. And then we've got, you know, a few events in between. And surprisingly, we get a very strong field again here this week.
Well, talk to me about this course, because Charles Schwab, what do I need to know? Do I need guys that can actually drive the ball? Do we need a better short game with this type of course? Is there wind conditions, water? What separates maybe this course from some of the others? Are these guys going to shoot like 26 under par on this course this weekend?
No, I don't think so, Joe. It's going to be another a tough test, another Perry Maxwell design, same as last week. It's the last stop for the Texas Swim. This has been one of the most storied stops on the PGA Tour. We've been stopping here for 50-plus years. It's an old-school golf course. It's a par 70, so you've got to play it the old-school way. We're not so in love with distance and the big bombers this week. We want guys who can find the fairway, find the green. Jason Kokrak won it here last year. Berger won it the year before. Now, both of those guys are long drivers, but you look at some of the other past winners here. I mean, Jordan Spieth's got a tremendous track record, but guys like Kevin Na, Kevin Kisner, Chris Kirk, they don't hit it a long way, but they keep it in play. In an old-school golf course, you've got smaller greens. You've got to be coming from the fairway this week. So we're looking for chess players, not checkers, Joe, which brings in a lot of, you know, other names that we don't usually get, because when you put them on a very long golf course like we saw last week, there's only, you know, sort of 20 guys who can realistically win that tournament. You've got to get off the tee well, just be in the mix. But this week, it brings more value in. It brings the small ball specialists into the equation, if you will. And again, we've got to factor in, it's the week after a major. There's always a bit of a hangover there, especially for the big names who are in contention late on Sunday. They're pegging it up tomorrow, but I'm not overly thrilled about anyone who was in the mix there last Sunday afternoon.
All right, so I'm going to give you three names. And speaking of hangover, Carver told me, he's like, you know, Mito looked pretty good. They interviewed him, you know, after, you know, he blew it on 18.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was in great spirits. Yeah. And I told him, Mike, that was on Sunday. Wait until they interview him Monday morning and he's hanging out in an alley with like a bottle of Jim Beam, right?
Like, come on
now.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Let me ask you this. I'll give you three names. I'll lead off with Mito because he's 50-1. So, I mean, if you're going to get the guy's best effort, does he bounce back or do you think that's just too devastating? And then what about Finau? This guy is like non-existent. He doesn't make the cut. He's there 32-1 and Pat Reed at 75-1.
Oh, look, I like two of those three picks you've just dished out there, Joe. For Mito Pereira, anyone else, they'll be like, no, they're going to have the wind taken out of their sails. But you look at his game. He didn't come out of nowhere last week. This is his first season on the PGA Tour. I think he's had, what, now 6 top 25s. The kid can play. He did it the Korn Ferry Tour. He did it in the Latin America Tour. He wins. He goes to the next level. He wins 3 times on the Korn Ferry Tour. He comes up to the PGA Tour. He starts contending. Now he's runner-up. Top 5 at a major championship. The kid has serious game. I've been harping on him in the last 2 months. This guy will win in the next 12 months on the PGA Tour. So I think he absolutely can back it up. It's a very good number for him. And again, such good demeanor. He didn't come off the golf course crying and saying, blah, 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 blah. He was in great spirits. That's what we want to see. Learn from it, move on, take it on to the next one. For Tony Finau, very hit and miss. Hasn't been himself. He's better on the longer golf course this week where it's about keeping it in play. I don't know what's going on with Tony. I thought he found something there at the Valero Texas Open, then into the Masters, but just very patchy, very spotty. And for Tony Finau, he sort of goes in, you know, 4-6 week event cycles. He's either really good contending every week or he's struggling to make the cut. So I haven't got enough confidence in Tony Finau. But the one you threw out there, Paddy Reed, Captain America at 75-1. He's found something, Joe. You can still get him at plus money for a top 40, 75-1 the outright market. I like that. It's a shorter course where it's about keeping it in play. You obviously need very good scrambling here and a good short game. Reed is still the best in the business. No one's been talking about him. He got a little sick there last year. He missed out on the Ryder Cup team. I don't think he was too happy with that. But again, Patrick Reed can sneak up, get in contention, and you know when he gets in the mix, he's not backing down. He wants to fight. He wants the arm wrestle. That's what you need on this golf course. That's a very fat number for a guy like Patrick Reed with all of his experience in short game, especially this week. And the form's been there for me as well. He's made the last five cuts. Well, he missed one there at the Wells Fargo. We don't look into that because of the torrential rain throwing out the window. So I think Patrick Reed, very good value play. Joe Lisi, dishing out dimes on a Wednesday night. We like that.
That's it, baby. Long shots. You know that.
That's how we do.
Dubsy, give me your best bets. Give me something that you're looking at, and I'll double back you on that one. Obviously, I'll throw it with the baseball or the hockey. Carver knows that. I love to mix and match.
Mate, love it. Well, look, I'm going to go back to that Patrick Reed reference there. I think you're getting a plus 140 for a top 40 finish. I think that's an absolutely wild play. If you're looking for a top South African, Christian Bezuidenhout at plus 185. He's just got to beat out Eric Van Rooyen, Garrick Higo, and Dylan Fratelli, who's all over the ballpark. Christian Bezuidenhout, great scrambler, plus 185 for a top South African. Very long last name. Look for that one. You'll find him, Joe.
That's great. I'll mark it down. There's some other great FanDuel plays, Dubsy, too. I'll throw a couple out there. I mean, total long shots. I mean, great value. 49-1. Taylor Gooch, Tony Finau, Berger, and Abraham Ancer, all top 20 finishes. Any shot with that right now at 49-1?
Boom, boom, boom. You threw out two there, Joe. I love him. Daniel Berger, he's won here before. You can also get him at 41-1 in the outright market. I love him with that kind of course history. He's got a chip on the shoulder. He led the Honda Classic go earlier this season. And Abe Ancer, it's a bit of a local game for him. He resides down the road in San Antonio. He's played here four times before, two top 15s. We're big on accuracy. He's third on PGA Tour with driving accuracy. Abraham Ancer, Daniel Berger. Abe Ancer, you can get 32-1 in the outright market. Daniel Berger, 41-1 in the outright market as well. If you're looking for a top 20, top 40, absolutely sign me up and shut the gates.
Look at that. I love it, Dubsy. Always a pleasure. We got to get you on next week as well when Carver's back. Thanks for the insight and info. Great insight. Great information, Dubsy.
Anytime, brother. Have a good night, Joey boy.
Dubs Anderson, our golf aficionado. When Andrew and I come back, we'll talk some NFL futures. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just because they have kids doesn't mean they're going to like yours.
Come on. That's what happens when you play these games that are meaningless. Kids take off.
I'm kind of getting the feeling now that this dude still has a lot of growing up to do.
Get back to basics. Get off your ass. Stop with the videos with your wife. Focus and get your ass back on the field.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we're back. Final segment of the show. Carver and Lisi here with you. Joe Lisi wrapping it up. Going to bring in Andrew Torres in a couple of minutes. Quick updates with the baseball. Totally gutless effort by the Red Sox. First and second. They're down 3-1. Top nine. Bogarts is up. Complete dud. Meanwhile, on the flip side, Texas totally abusing the Angels right now. 6-1 in the seventh. That over's definitely coming in. That was a pre pregame total of 9. I think it was juiced slightly to the over at minus 114. They're in the top of the 7th. Runners on 1st and 3rd. I think there's 2 outs. So if you're sitting on a 9 ticket, you got life here with the Rangers just abusing the L.A. Angels right now. You want to just chime in if you want to give us a call, 844-843-6879. We talked with Charapin about the Steelers. I want to get Andrew's take because he's a Steeler fan as well. One, Andrew, you want Pickett or you want Trubisky to start? And second, you know, thoughts about Khan, the new GM, and the 7.5 win total that FanDuel set for this ball club at plus 850 to win the division this year. Ugh.
Well, all right, so as far as quarterbacks go, I think Trubisky should start at least the season, maybe the first few games, just to see what he's got. He's obviously the veteran quarterback, so, you know, matching up against the rookie coming out of, you know, the... I was talking with I think we've talked about this before, like how he's like, it's like the happy story. He went to college in Pittsburgh and now he got drafted by the Steelers. So it's like, you know, the big Hollywood story if it works out, but we don't know if it's going to work out. So I think Trubisky should get the ball at least for the first few weeks of the season. As far as Khan getting the role that he has, he's been with the organization for at least a little bit now, so I think he knows the ins and outs moving forward. I think he knows about the culture. He knows about what the fans expect, what the front office, the Rooney family expects, and obviously he has a lot of relationships with the staff and the team that's there, so I don't think that's going to be much of a problem. And as far as the win total, you said it's at 7.5. Is that what it is?
Yeah, they have 7.5 on the futures right now.
It's hard because we don't know how the other teams are going to come out. We don't know how the Bengals are going to come off of a Super Bowl appearance. We don't know how healthy Lamar Jackson's going to stay. We don't know what the situation with Deshaun Watson's going to be with Cleveland and their whole thing with Baker Mayfield too. Like, what are they going to do? What moves are they going to do? So it's hard to say. As of right now, I think right at 7.5, maybe 7 or 8 wins, maybe 9 wins they could get. But I think, honestly, Joe, as a Steelers fan, looking and seeing them make the playoffs is a bit of a stretch, at least at this point, just because we don't know so many different things about the other teams in the division.
And they're dead last to pick of the division, plus 850. Yeah. I mean, it's such a significant drop-off. I mean, I can't believe – I love Lamar Jackson. I do. I was very high on him, thought he was the best quarterback in that draft over Baker Mayfield. But up until this point – I mean, you're going to put him over Joe Burrow right now? I just can't do that. I can't do it for the simple fact that Joe Burrow led his team to a Super Bowl appearance, and Lamar Jackson right now has struggled. You know, outside beating Tennessee in a playoff game, what has Lamar Jackson done? Yes, regular season MVP, I get that. But 2-1? We're just buying into to John Harbaugh and the crew, right? I mean, first of all, they let go of Marquise Brown. I get that. They have Rashad Bateman, but you have Mark Andrews. I mean, you're one injury away, again, from an offensive perspective of being completely one-dimensional. Again. I mean, I just can't buy into a team like that. I know they are built a certain way, and that's the way they've drafted personnel. But you know what? I don't necessarily think they're that much better than the Steelers. I think they're better defensively. But, I mean, you know what? The Steelers' personnel isn't bad when you think about the wide receivers and you think about the players that they have now. George Pickens, you have Claypool. You have Johnson, right? You have Freiermuth. You have Najee Harris. Those aren't bad players from a skill perspective. Obviously, the quarterback is the issue. But you know what? You could go toe-to-toe with Baltimore from an offensive perspective. It's the defense that really needs to carry this team. And do you feel, outside of T.J. Watt, are you confident that there's guys that could step up?
No. And the reason I say that is I think...
Don't sugarcoat it.
Well, it's like T.J. Watt's the only guy who's proven anything so far. You know, he tied the record for the most sacks in a single season last year. He pretty much is the Steelers' defense. Cameron Hayward is getting up there in age, and, you know, they got some questions in the secondary. I really think that, you know, outside of the quarterback, situation for the Steelers. You know, is it going to be Mitch Trubisky? Is it going to be, you know, the rookie or, you know, whatever else happens? I don't think Mason Rudolph's not going to be in the picture, but, you know, defensively, they need to figure out who is going to be on this team consistently. And, you know, it goes back to the offense. You know, that was one of the biggest problems that the Steelers had last year was the offensive inconsistently, because Ben Roethlisberger couldn't throw the ball 25 yards down the field. So it became a very predictable offense. And I think the defense became semi-sort of predictable with, you know, that the threat of, you know, the pressure on the quarterback was going to come from TJ Watt. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. But that's definitely something the Steelers are going to have to address. They're going to have to try to figure out a way to get younger, but at the same time, talented on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, speaking of Mason Rudolph, it's funny that you bring that up, because FanDuel in New Jersey does have odds for the Steelers starting quarterback week one. Mitch Trubisky -172. Kenny Pickett +134. Mason Rudolph 25-1. It's almost worth a shot just based off the injury factor. No? If Trubisky goes down or Pickett, I mean, come on. Mason Rudolph at 25-1? So you're saying there's no shot for Mason Rudolph under any circumstances. Pickett isn't ready, let's just say Pickett's not ready from a playbook perspective week one, and Trubisky tweaks a hammy.
Well, that has to be Rudolph. Okay. Right. Okay. So when I said that before, I didn't mean like, oh, they're not going to, you know,
Would you take a shot at 25-1?
I mean, if that's the case, yeah. I mean, you never know what could happen with training camp and different things. You know, people... the preseason and all that stuff, you never know what could happen. I mean, Kurt Warner, they just made a movie about him because the quarterback that was supposed to start for the Rams that year got his leg blown off in a preseason game. So we have no idea what could happen. So
Trent Green.
Yeah.
The former Indiana standout, Trent Green. He wound up going to the Miami Dolphins after that. I mean, good quarterback.
Didn't he play for the Chiefs too?
Yeah, he did. He was backed up the Chiefs, and that's how the Rams got him, I believe. Could be wrong. Maybe it was vice versa, but believe he started his career at the Chiefs. He went to the Rams, or maybe, I believe that's how it played out. I'll double-check it in the break. But, you know, we'll see. Speaking of the Rams, I talked about this with Ben Stevens today. In terms of most complete teams in the NFC, you have to say it's the L.A. Rams. You know, and they're 5-1 right now. To win the Super Bowl, 11-1 to win the Super Bowl, 5-1 to win the NFC this year, which is, I can't believe that's right. But let me just double check that, because conference odds, they're 5-1. And you know what? They are the most complete team and have the less question marks out of all these teams, because Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, I love Tom Brady, but there's still concerns with Todd Bowles. There's concerns in terms of what does the offense look like? Does Godwin bounce back? Green Bay has no Davante Adams. What's that identity? San Francisco doesn't even know who their quarterback is, even though it's Trey Lance, and he didn't step up. Everybody believes it's Pat Mahomes 2.0. Dallas can't win a big game. And everybody else is a drop-off. Matt Stafford and the L.A. Rams at 5-1 are live. And more importantly, Stafford at 14-1 for an MVP. If he puts up anywhere near 5,000 yards and, let's say, 35 touchdowns, he might win the MVP based off of him losing it to Cooper Kupp last year against Cincinnati.
Right. It's one of those things, and there were a lot of question marks about players coming back. Like, I know there was some stuff about Aaron Donald, whether he was going to retire, whether he was going to come back, and stuff like that. And I think everybody was talking about how the Rams were all in on this year. This year was last year was, you know, they went out and they got the quarterback that they needed to move forward to be able to get past certain teams and certain rounds in the playoffs, and they got it in Stafford. The defense was solid. They got Von Miller and they shored up stuff there, and it worked. And, you know, I know, you know, people always question calls in the Super Bowl and stuff like that, but everything that they needed to accomplish, that they wanted to accomplish last year, is exactly what they did. So I honestly don't see any reason, any other team in the NFC like you were talking about that can really kind of challenge them. Obviously, unless injuries are a factor, which they always are. honestly, the only team that I can really see being competitive in comparison to the Rams is Green Bay, just because you know Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to make it happen, make it work. They're going to win, you know, 11, 12, 13 games this year, and they're going to be competitive. It's just a matter of, will they be able to get it done in the playoffs? I don't think they will. He hasn't gotten it done in the playoffs for, what, 13 years now? So I really don't expect that much stuff to change.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out. This is a wide-open race. I think there's some dark horses, too, that have value. Everybody's talking about now Kyler Murray, the $280 million potential contract that he's going to sign. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, love him or hate him, he has shown progression in Arizona. I mean, 5-10-1 in his first year, 8-8 his second, and 11-6 last year. He went from fourth to third to second. That's progression. You know, and now he's on the hot seat because of the expectations. You start 7-0, people expect you not to just finish second in the division. They expect you to win the title of the division and get a first-round bye. And when you limp into the playoffs and get abused by the L.A. Rams defense, and more importantly, Kyler Murray, with or without DeAndre Hopkins, look like a deer in the headlights, I can't buy into that team. So we'll see how this plays out, but I think Minnesota, and I know what you're going to say, Kirk Cousins, Andrew, but he's still a veteran quarterback. You got Dalvin Cook. If O'Connell could channel anything and get this team to 11 wins, you have a shot with that offense. I can't buy into Washington. The only other team that I like would be Philly. Because of Jalen Hurts, a winner, A.J. Brown, and now Devontae Smith. What do you think about Philly this year?
I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. And I think that Jalen Hurts finally has, he's got like the full year under his belt as the quarterback. I think he's got a little bit more confidence than he did last year, because people were questioning left and right. Is he going to be the guy? Is he not going to be the guy? I think he's got a lot of that swagger that he needs to be a starting quarterback. Plus, obviously, adding weapons for him to throw the ball to only adds to that confidence, too.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Carolina 70-1, Seattle and Pete Carroll 70-1. How far the mighty have fallen in Seattle. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's no reserving judgment here. It's always rendered.
They got to add teams, Joe. That's it.
Carver, you're like the judge. You're like, that's it. Carver
that's
says it.
They got to ask.
We got to do it.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
You'd have a problem with that, Joe? You don't want that?
Nah, I don't want it. I like it as is.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we're back. Final segment of the show. Flew by without Carver here. He'll be back in the cockpit tomorrow. Hopefully he's feeling okay. He needed a day off. Family day. We're going to go through some best bets right now. Quick update in terms of the only baseball game on right now in Anaheim or L.A. Texas 6-1 over the Angels. Angels have 3 hits heading into the bottom of the 8th right now. Unbelievable. 6-1, you could have gotten Texas plus 152 on the money line in terms of before the first pitch. Now, forget it. You want to take a shot? Go ahead. Plus 3,200 for the Angels. Trout makes a good catch at the warning track, one down in the 8th. So we'll see how that plays out. Games tomorrow. I'm going to give best bets in baseball. 2 overs I like. I like over Guardians in Detroit, 7-11. First pitch, it's 7.5, juice to the under at minus 118. Go over the 7.5. Guardians had runners on against the Houston Astros tonight. Couldn't convert. They're back on the road in Detroit tomorrow. 7-11, I like the over there. I think they implode. And then Kansas City and Minnesota, every time these teams play, I think I just blindly bet the over, but 8, juice to the under as well, minus 114. You got Lynch on the mound for KC, and Smeltzer is I need trifocals. I'm getting so old. Minnesota, take the over in that ball game, and then we're going to roll with the Rangers tomorrow night. I'm going to channel my innermost chi with Andrew Torres, our great producer. Take them on the road against the Carolina Hurricanes. For Mike Carver, who was with us in spirit, I'm Joe Lisi, our great producer, Andrew Torres. We'll see you tomorrow night, everyone. Have a great night.